Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Governor Roy Cooper released a proposed budget compromise this week in which he acceded to many Republican demands but stood firm on his position that the final deal should close the state's health coverage gap by expanding Medicaid. Meanwhile, Republican legislative leaders continued to search for the votes to overturn Cooper's budget veto, even as they differed publicly on whether to compromise on Medicaid expansion. All in all, it's quite a fascinating environment in which to be serving your first term as an up-and-coming state senator. That's where Mecklenburg County's Natasha Marcus finds herself. I caught up with Senator Marcus earlier this week to get her assessment of the budget debate and what she's learned during her first 6 months of service in Raleigh.
Welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Well, my gosh, you're in your first term in the General Assembly, but it must not seem that way anymore. You're 6 months into this job. Our crack researchers were noticing that you've already taken close to 500 votes in your first term in office. Talk to us a little bit about some of your initial impressions of serving the state of North Carolina as a state senator.
I am surprised to hear that the number is that high, actually. It adds up quickly. Yes,
yeah.
It does. I do still very much feel that it is my first term. I learn something new every day. There have been a lot of frustrations along the way. I have found it to be very obvious that the North Carolina Senate is not a democracy. It is not run as such. I was really hoping and expecting that there would be more vigorous debate, exchange of ideas, let everyone contribute their ideas and make their case and come to some sort of compromise conclusion on how to have good public policy in North Carolina. That does not happen.
Even despite the fact that the Democrats have done away with the supermajorities that the Republicans enjoyed, the Republicans pretty much still running things like it's their show.
Absolutely. Yes, there is one person who runs the entire Senate, and bills that he likes get through. We cannot stop them. And bills that he doesn't like never get a hearing.
Yeah.
That's become very clear, and it's incredibly frustrating because folks on my side have some really good ideas that are popular in North Carolina, like Medicaid expansion, like a statewide school construction bond, several good ideas that we believe have a right to at least be heard in the public forum, and we can't even get that done.
Well, speaking of that, as we record this, of course, we're in the midst of this sort of budget stalemate where the governor has vetoed the budget, the Republican budget that came out of the General Assembly. But he's offered just yesterday, as we record this, a compromise solution where he sort of backed off some of the provisions in his initial budget. But it looks at least at this point that Senator Berger, the man you've been referring to who runs the Senate, doesn't seem very interested in further compromise or further discussion.
That's correct. In fact, we understand that Senator Berger got on a plane and flew to Germany yesterday. So he gave no real response to the governor's very fair compromise position, a position that I can certainly support and get behind. I've often heard people say no budget is perfect, but the budget that the Republicans presented and have so far demanded that the governor accept took in no Democratic input, does not reflect our priorities. They were very sneaky and made sure to put in some very good things that Democrats like to see, that my constituents like to see, things like money for testing the backlog of rape kits, for example. Of course we support those things. There's even a grant to study ocular melanoma, which is very important to me. I fought to get that grant in there because we have a very high number of ocular melanoma cases in my district in Huntersville.
Right.
So of course there are things in that budget that I would love to vote yes for, and they're careful to make sure that some of that's in there so they can say, Senator Marcus voted against those things. But we can't accept that whole budget package because they don't want us to notice the cuts and the things that are completely left out. And those are important priorities. And those are the things that we ran on. And those are the things that our constituents want us to fight for. And we're going to keep doing that. And it is infuriating that Senator Berger, I think he has forgotten how to negotiate. He's used to saying this is the way the budget's going to look, period. And he has forgotten that he does not have a supermajority anymore. And we have a voice, and what the governor thinks and what Democrats think matter. And he needs to talk with us about it. And this is a very fair compromise that the governor has presented, and I would hope we could discuss it.
Yeah, it seems like that's what voters voted for last fall when they voted basically for divided government in the state. It was like, we need to see some compromise.
But some balance is honestly what I'm hearing people want. We're way too far to the right. We're not doing right by working people and school teachers and public school kids. We haven't been for so long, and now is the time. And Senator Berger and his party need to understand that that's what voters want.
One issue that's been, of course, at the forefront of the debate is the issue of Medicaid, the issue of health care. The Senate Republicans have consistent, although there seems to be some movement amongst House Republicans, Senate Republicans have said no way, no how to Medicaid expansion. They have instead, interestingly, which would sort of seem to violate some of their normal principles, come forward with a sort of bailout package for rural hospitals. We know that rural hospitals are struggling. We know that Medicaid expansion would be really the solution that could allow them to get some stability. Instead of going down that road now, they just want to sort of do a bailout package. Any thoughts on where that's going or, you know, the debate over Medicaid expansion?
Isn't that a surprise? They're finally admitting that they need to do something. For 9 years, they've let this problem fester, which is rural hospitals have been waving a flag, trying to get their attention for 9 years, saying, we are about to go out of business.
Some
we have,
actually.
That's true, and some are gone. They have so much uncompensated care that they have to provide for so many uninsured people because we have refused to expand Medicaid for years. Yeah. And now hospitals in rural areas, largely represented by Republicans, one in Senator Berger's district himself, are on the verge of, I've heard, weeks away from going bankrupt. So what do they do? Not the solution that everyone knows is the one that would save our state money, be a huge boost to our economy, create jobs, get people covered, and save these rural hospitals, which is expanding Medicaid. It's the morally correct thing to do in addition to the economically smart thing to do. But no, Senator Berger has still refused to discuss that. But the fact that he had to ask us to change the Senate rules to hear this last-minute rural health care bill that he's put up, which is, you're right, it's basically a government bailout, mm-hmm. so it will temporarily keep the doors open at some of these rural hospitals. Mm-hmm. To me, that shows that he knows this is a real problem, yeah. and he's got to do something, and that voters and hospitals and patients are demanding that they finally deal with this problem. And he has backed himself into this corner where he refuses to talk about the one solution that would actually fix it long term and instead has come up with this plan. Now, we support it because sure. it's the only plan that they're going to allow us to pass this term while he still holds the gavel in the North Carolina Senate. So, of course, we Democrats, as much as we hate to go along with their plan because we think it's the wrong plan, we're going to support that because we care about the people who need health care in rural areas. Right. But it is not the right solution. And the fact that the House is starting to come around to our way of seeing it as well by offering their version of Medicaid expansion, it's not exactly the way we should do it, but it's closer. They see it. Everyone sees it except Phil Berger.
Another issue in which you all have had some big differences is, of course, education funding. The governor came forth with a proposal that sort of ratcheted back a little bit on the pay raises that he had proposed. They'd still be significantly larger than what was coming out of the legislature. Also, probably more effort to sort of repair the damage of the last several years to several education spending line items, although certainly not a radical proposal that the governor's offered. There's also the issue of school infrastructure and school construction. The governor thinks we should have a bond, and the Senate
yes,
has
should.
Sort of pushed this idea of what they call pay as you go, which is basically just take money out of the budget to pay for school construction. Governor came forward and said, okay, let's do sort of a hybrid compromise. Well, we'll do a little of both. Any hopes on that front either, you think?
One of the first press conferences I held as a North Carolina senator was to push for a statewide school construction bond. It is the way to fund huge capital projects. It is the right way to go, and we should have done that. So I agree with the governor's proposal that that's the way we should go. I also agree with his willingness to compromise because, again, Phil Berger is not known for wanting to back off of his ideas, and he likes this SCIF, as we call it, the pay-as-you-go approach. And so the governor is correct to say, all right, if that's the way you like it so much, we'll do some that way. But let's talk about a statewide school construction bond. The voters would support that. Everywhere I go, I hear about how schools are overcrowded and crumbling and out of date, and we need a huge investment in capital. Our state has in the past approved these bonds. Voters like them and see the value of them. And we can afford to do it right now, it's the right move. So, again, I give the governor credit for doing his best to find a compromise. And it is too bad that Phil Berger's on a plane instead of talking with us. This is important. This is the state's business. And he has literally left the building.
It's very disheartening. A couple other issues I want to talk to you in our limited time that we have left. You mentioned the issue of ocular melanoma and this whole issue of cancer clusters, which is a problem in a lot of districts, mm-hmm. but particularly for one that you care about a lot. There seems to be some headway. There's always a battle over who gets credit over it. But are you feeling maybe there's some headway that can be made on studying these issues and maybe making some progress?
I am feeling hopeful. I said earlier there's a lot of frustration with this job. But on this issue, I am feeling like we're starting to get some resources our way. One of the first meetings I had when I came to Raleigh as a North Carolina senator was to find out who's in charge of figuring out why so many residents in the Huntersville and Cornelius area are coming down with this very rare form of cancer called ocular melanoma. It results in people losing an eye in most cases. And when it metastasizes to the liver, it is deadly. It is a serious, serious cancer. And just north of my district, in Senator Vicki Sawyer's district, there is an outbreak of thyroid cancer, which is also typically fairly rare, and young women are getting that there. We clearly have something going on. We think it's environmental, but we can't prove it.
It's obvious that it would be.
My question is, who in our state government is in charge of finding out the cause? And I was very frustrated to hear that there is no one in charge of finding out the cause of cancer clusters. It is not the job of DEQ, because DEQ's job is
environmental quality.
Correct. Thank you. It is their job to follow up on a known environmental contamination. So when we had coal ash into the Dan River, for example, or PFAS and into the environment, they follow up on that. But they are not in charge of finding a mystery cause of a possible cluster. We hasn't been declared a cluster. DHHS's job is to keep people healthy, so they will figure out ways to treat you once you have your cancer and get you covered, but it's not their job to figure out why you got cancer. So I am pleased to see that Senator Sawyer and I have been able to sponsor a bill to encourage the state, the North Carolina Policy Collaboratory, to study the causes. I think the first step is just to determine where the cancer clusters are.
Right.
So this is going to be a several-year process. I'm excited about it, but I also know it's not going to come fast enough for some people, one of whom is a friend of mine who just found out her cancer has spread to her liver. So we need to move faster on this, but I am pleased that at least the state has acknowledged we do have cancer clusters in North Carolina, and we need to start getting ahead of that and figuring out what's causing it. And then we have the grant to the town of Huntersville to continue studying. They are the only entity so far that's been willing to try to find the cause of the ocular melanoma, so I fought to get a $100,000 grant to the town to continue that research. We need more experts on that, though. We need what they have up in Mooresville, where the thyroid cancer cluster is, which is a team of experts who are willing to really do this work. The town of Huntersville has done as well as they can, but they are a municipality. They are not set up to run and find, you know, this medical mystery, the solution to it. So I'm hopeful that we can. I've started those conversations, get those Duke University professors, perhaps, who've worked on the thyroid cancer cluster to come to Huntersville and Cornelius and help us figure out what is causing this very scary cancer.
Well, wow. We really congratulate you on that fine work, all the principled stances you've taken in your first term in the North Carolina Senate. We wish you all the best in surviving the final days of the 2019 session. And whenever that comes, it may be lingering on for several months. We'll see. But thank you for your service. We'll look forward to doing this again. Hopefully have some better news to discuss the next time we get together. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Coming up next, how is your county's economy faring? A new report may surprise you, and we'll talk to the author. Stay with us.